All right. Thank you, Lee. I'll tell you what, that's a good message and song for us. Appreciate that very much. I want you to open your Bible this morning. I'm mixed where I want to go to Luke or Matthew, but I think I'll go to book of Matthew this morning. I'd like for you to go to chapter 10, and I'm going to read the same portion I could read in Luke. And Matthew 10, we're going to start in about verse 32 and read down till we hit a particular verse that we want to kind of park on this morning. I want to preach to you a little bit this morning on the subject of mistaking Jesus. You know, we are all prone to error and mistakes in this life. Some of them are kind of lighthearted and mistakes we make, and some of them kind of serious. You ever go out and try to make your key work on the wrong car? I know a certain lady pretty close to me that did that. Caused me to drive all the way to Winter Haven because she had two sets of keys in her purse. One for her car and one for mine. She was driving mine and her key wouldn't work. And that was kind of funny. Not real funny. It's a long trip. But we have lighthearted mistakes we make sometimes, and some pretty serious. And talking about sometimes misidentifying somebody can be funny and dangerous at the same time. I remember one time, so help me, I was pastoring the country church 3 years before I came here, good little church and group of people on Sunday night, sometime fairly thin, of course. And I had a deacon that always helped with the offering. Good man. But he had a habit for years. When he got through with the offering, he'd come back, sat down side of his wife on about the third pew, and he'd sat down and he'd put his arm around her. He'd done that probably 20 years before I ever came as pastor. Every time, that's what he did. On a particular Sunday night, while he was taking offering, a visiting lady came in. Don't get ahead of me. And she sat on the pew right in front of his wife. He finished the offering, and like a lot of deacons and ushers, about half asleep probably, but anyway, he come and sat down and put his arm around that stranger. Now, we're not in a big building, and everybody saw what was going on, but him. His wife sitting right behind. He just picked the wrong woman. That happened, so help me God. You ought to feel sorry for preachers. We see stuff from up here you never think we see. And we have to deal with it. Now, I know how I deal with it today, but then I was young and timid. And I didn't know, what am I going to do? Nobody's listening to a thing I'm saying. They're watching what is fixing to happen. Well, the more he tightened his grip, the more the woman kept pulling away from him. And way directly, he looked to see what was the matter with her, and he went straight up. Needless to say, I didn't get much preaching done that night. Every time we'd meet eyes, everybody wanted to laugh. Mistakes sometimes are simple and sometimes they're serious. You see it in the news where the trains are wrecking. I had a couple of wrecks this week, one in the news this morning up around Columbia, South Carolina. And that's serious. Somebody got killed. But I guarantee you, when it's all said and done, there's an error somewhere. A mistake made somewhere. That's the way it works every time. That's the way it happens. And so we make mistakes, and it's human to err sometime. I understand all that. But I want to tell you about the most serious mistake you can make this morning, and that's concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Picking it up with me here in Matthew chapter 10, let's jump in here about verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, Jesus is talking now. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And here's what I want you to think on, verse 34. "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life," and these are the words you ought to mark for my sake, "he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." But I want you to go back with me to verse 34. "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth." And not, he said, "I came not to send peace, but a sword." Now, this is the mistake we make. I've had it thrown at me as a preacher. Where's all this peace on earth that Jesus promised? Right? We just got through Christmas not long ago, peace and goodwill toward men. Is that what was said in Luke chapter 2 when the angel showed up? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. But here we have Jesus said, "Don't think that way. It's not going to happen." Jesus knew reality, and he was telling you what was happening then and also telling us what was going to happen following after. And one of the greatest mistakes that people make today is saying, the Bible must be wrong. Jesus must be wrong. He promised peace on the earth. What you're doing is you're getting the two advents or the two comings of Christ mixed up. He said he didn't come the first time. He knew what was going to happen. He came, he offered, but he knew he was going to be rejected. He knew that. But when he comes back again, he is going to bring that peace. And he is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is coming back, and he will bring that peace when he does. But in the meantime, you know what's happening over Jesus? The world's being divided. And that's what he said in the verses. He said even a man's foes would be his own household. He said father and son will be split and mother and daughter will be split. And if we look around at reality today, do you know some families divided over Jesus? Yes, you do. It's pretty common. Everywhere you look, you see divisions concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish that wasn't so, but it is so, and it's exactly what the Lord Jesus said right here. And if you would have went over to Luke 12, we'd have read the word division. There's division over Jesus Christ today. Yeah, there's division in America now. Do you know that? Did you watch the president's speech on Tuesday night? Wasn't that the saddest bunch of jerks you ever seen that wouldn't even stand up for the flag, stand up for the anthem, even stand up for the little boy that was putting flags on the veterans and the soldiers, the tombstones? They couldn't even stand up when he said the employment was up and unemployment was down. I mean, all the good things. And I saw where the ACLU, that's the American Communist Union, Antichrist Union, where they said they counted where he said America 80 times. Well, so what? Brother, I'm an American, and I'm not ashamed to hear it spoken of. And when the president got up and said, "I want America first," I said amen to that. And then you look around at that sad bunch when the camera would go out into the audience. Nancy Pelosi looked like she'd had green persimmons for supper. And I apologize to every persimmon on the planet. Rat-faced Chuck Schumer looked like he'd lost his cheese. Amen. That's the division I'm talking about. And what I'm saying to you is, if you get right down where the tire meets the road, it's a division over right and wrong, and who's for right and who's for wrong. Jesus is for right. He's still the divider. That's what he said right here. He said, don't say I brought peace. That's not happening. He said families are going to be divided. We look around, see the whole world is divided over the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think about that a little bit. They've always been divided. Now think with me down the line just a little bit. Wasn't there a division when Jesus was born? Who was it wanted to kill him when he was born and killed all the babies 2 years old and down? It was government that did that. Say Herod. Herod was the head of the government that did that. There was a division over the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's been ever since. You got some perverted Bibles that take out the virgin birth. They divide it over his birth, right? You got arguments going on today and fellows that have written books and all that, but they can't stand the idea he was virgin born because they can't stand the idea he was God. And he was God incarnate in the flesh. And he was fulfilling the prediction that was made that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son. And yet that very thing, the world has been divided over the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Check your history out. And still today, listen to the politicians talk. And they'll say, God bless you. But not many of them mention Jesus. He's still divisive. I've seen the time more than one time, and I read about it, and I know about it. I know a preacher or two that was invited to a political type thing or a luncheon or something to open prayer to give the invocation, and just before he got up to do it, some of the leaders slipped up and said, now just don't mention Jesus. And Ron Beatty, one of my preacher friends, about old as me now, I think, he was telling me about going to the legislature in his state, and just before he got up to pray, he said, then I'm not praying. Thank God for a preacher that'll take a stand like that. I've told you before, I went to a board meeting, some of the county doings around here one time. They invited me to go, and I've been a time or two, and I was going to give the invocation, and so I knew about what was going on, so I went up to him ahead of time, about 5 minutes ahead of time, and said, hey, I just want you to know I'm here to pray, but I pray in Jesus' name. And thank God they said, go to it, preacher. And we still got some that are on the right side, amen? But the birth of Jesus brought division. You go back and you look through history and you look through your Bible. Let me also say that his life brought division in the Bible. You want to turn with me, John chapter 7. The ceremony of the living water was about to take place. Part of the tabernacle ceremony among the Jews, a religious ceremony. And I look over in John chapter 7, and I pick it up in about verse 43. And it says here that when the Lord Jesus was declaring himself, saying that he was the living water, they were divided. His life divided. Verse 43 says, so there was a division among the people because of him. So when he walked on planet Earth, he brought division. Division in his life. How about in John chapter 9, since we're very close, just turn over there and you find out where he healed a blind man. And you know what? The religious crowd fussed because he did it on the Sabbath day. Healed a man from his birth. And I pick it up over here in about John 9 and look at it in about verse 16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? Watch the next line. And there was a division among them. They divided. I'm talking about Christ divided the crowd at his birth. He divided the crowd during his life. And he divided the crowd when he died. You remember the story? There's a crowd out there hollering away with him, crucify him. We'll not have this man reign over us. You remember the story? But you remember Pilate was divided. He was divided even among himself. He said, I find no fault in this man. He said, he's a just man. And so the division came, and some was crying one thing and some crying another. But when he went to the cross and died, do you know even the two thieves were divided? One was against him, and one finally confessed him. Jesus is a divider. There's some folks listening to me today. You're still sitting on the fence about Jesus. You're divided. Somebody in your family got saved. You said, well, they became a religious fanatic. Did they really? I mean, Even loved ones have a wall built up between them sometimes. When some get saved and come to Jesus and others deny him, the division part of it is still an awful, awful thing to see today, even within families. Yes, it's death divide them. The Roman centurion, he was in charge of the soldiers. And when the sky turned dark and the earthquake come, and all of a sudden the supernatural phenomena began to happen, and the centurion cried out, "Truly, this must have been the Son of God." Remember? Oh, yeah. He said, "Surely this must be God." Everybody didn't believe that. Even in the fear, some of them began to turn and think maybe so. And I think Pilate really, when he began to hear the news, he knew what had happened in his heart. He'd made the wrong decision. He'd tried to wash his hands of the blood, but he couldn't, and neither can we. We're going to be divided one way or the other over Jesus Christ. He brought division in his death. He brought division in his resurrection. Still does. You know what? I'm right here in John. Go with me to John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, pick it up in about, I'm thinking about verse 17. And I want you to see here that the resurrection done some dividing. It says, Jesus is talking about it now. They don't like it that he predicted what he would do, that he would rise from the dead even before they killed him. They got mad at him for that prediction. So in John 10:17, it says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again." That's what he was saying. The crowd was hearing him say. And he said, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father." In verse 19, there was a division. See the word? "There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings." I mean, he said, I lay down my life. You can't take it from me, but I'll lay it down, but I'll take it up again at the proper time. He predicted it. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, probably the most doubtful story that people want to criticize in the Bible is the story of the Jonah swallowing the whale. Right? You're asleep already this morning. The whale swallowing Jonah. But if it said it the other way around in the Bible, I'd believe that too. Amen? But anyway, how could a whale swallow a man? I know this. I don't want to get out there and let one practice on me. I believe you might could do it. But they ridiculed that. But Jesus said in Matthew 12:40, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He used it as a picture of his resurrection. But the crowd divided over the resurrection. He said he would lay down his life and he would take it up again, and it brought great division. Make no mistake, you better know what's right on the resurrection. Your salvation depends on it. Probably one of the most used salvation verses in the Bible is Romans 10:9. John 3:16 may be first, but Romans 10:9 is right in there. And it says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus," that Jesus is Lord, that he is God. "Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath" what? "Raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved." Don't say maybe or hope so, but shalt. Listen to me. Sitting right where you're at right now, you could get saved. And if you did, you'd come down the aisle when I give the invitation and unashamedly, as Leo was singing, confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. The truth of the matter is, you can believe in your heart where you sit, but the Bible says right there in Romans 10:10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And then you get to that verse 9, and it says, "If you believe that he was raised from the dead, that proves he was God. No other false god, ism, cult, or man can pass that test. They cannot come back to life. They cannot raise themselves. Jesus conquered death. He arose again. And his resurrection divides the world still today. I could tell you stories, if time allowed, of some intellectual great giants of intellect that thought they were going to disprove the resurrection, and they set out to do it, but when they got through investigating, they were believers. Lord Lyttelton, Gilbert West, they wrote books on it back in England. Both of them got converted when they got through with their research. I'm saying to you, the resurrection divides. Jesus is a divider. He didn't come the first time thinking they were going to accept him. He knew what was going to happen. They rejected his peace offer. They turned him down. And the world's been divided over Jesus Christ and still is today. And the worst we're reaping today is because of that very, very thing. His resurrection divided the crowd. In Acts chapter 17, Paul showed up in the city at Athens. He found them worshiping all kind of false gods, even had a sign up in case they'd missed a god, the unknown god. They had a sign up to him, and Paul came in there preaching to tell them who the real God was, and you know what he preached to them? He preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That distinguishes him, separates him from all other religions and false gods. He arose from the dead. Acts 17:31, Paul said this, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. What man? He's going to judge the world in righteousness by a man. The man is whom he hath ordained. Who is he? He says, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that all, assurance unto all men that he hath raised him, one man from the dead. There's only one man been raised from the dead that's going to be your judge, Jesus Christ. Which side you fall on that issue? You believe it was God? The resurrection proves he was. Oh, yes, it divides the world today. They don't like the idea. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father by me. Now, Buddha could say something like that. He didn't. Muhammad could say something like that. He didn't. A lot of religious leaders have said, follow me. But when they died, they didn't come back. I'm not going to follow the one that died and couldn't come back. I'm going to follow the one that died and conquered death and came back. Yes, he is a divider. There is a division over Jesus Christ. There's a division over his resurrection. You see, there's no man like him. There was no man ever born like Jesus. No man ever lived like Jesus. No man ever died like Jesus. And no man ever arose like Jesus. Do you know the wonderful truth? The one that promised he would come forth from the dead and did, also promised he's coming back again, and he will. Amen. He kept all the other promises. He's going to keep that one. He's going to keep that one. You and I ought to be more excited about the coming of Jesus than any church people, any saved people, anybody that's ever read the Bible. We're closer to his coming than anybody's ever been. All the world is shouting through all the things that are happening. Jesus is coming, and yet all the world is looking the wrong way. And they think they've got the answers when they have no answers. And they're divided over who Jesus is. Talk about our own government being split up. It is, but you get right down to it. The issues are right and wrong. I said it a while ago. The issues are our righteousness and unrighteousness. The corruption we have in our own government is because God has been kicked out to the place that man feels he has no responsibility to God for truth, for playing fair, for being honest. Those things come from God. And when you leave that behind, you have no stabilization. You have no foundation. You have no fence around your life to keep you right. I say to you, the world is divided over Jesus. And too many have fell on the wrong side. He is coming again. He promised that he would. We're living in the day and time predicted of false prophets and deception. all of that. Some are saying, where's the promise of his coming? That's what Peter said. He said, in the last days, scoffers will come, walking after their own lust, saying, where's the promise of his coming? But the promise is still as good as when he made it. And the fact that he rose from the dead proves he's coming back, just like he said. He's coming back, this time as king, King of Kings. I believe before he shows up as King of Kings, shows up to bring an enforced peace, this time they won't be able to reject his peace. This time he'll bring and set up in his own power his own kingdom. But you know, he's going to call his ambassadors home first. Let me say, you may not recognize who you are this morning. Are you saved? If you say that in your heart, are you saved? You know Jesus? Then you are an ambassador for him. We are left here to represent him till he comes back. Do you know what I am? I'm in a foreign country. I'm a pilgrim passing through this old sin-cursed land. It's not my final home. I'm here after I got saved. I'm left as a messenger, an ambassador for my king. And you know what a nation does before it declares war on another nation? We see it every now and then in the news now. They call the ambassadors home. Jesus is about to call his ambassadors home. I'm one of them. Are you? I hope you are. I hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope he's not only your Savior, but if he's your Savior, then he'll be your coming King. You know, he's coming again. It could happen so quick. I don't believe we have to wait on the Antichrist to show up before Jesus can come. I don't believe we have to wait on anything else. I believe his coming is imminent. When he says enough and the trumpet sounds, that'll be it. In a moment, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye. Let me say to you personally, if it were to happen this week, this building will probably still be standing here. Wonder who will show up next week. You say it'd be empty. I doubt it. I think it might even be fuller than it is now. But it won't be Christians in it. It won't be ambassadors in it. It'll be some that'll say, oh, what has happened? Where did they go? Is there a chance for me? Can you think of the horror of walking just in this room right here and all these people around you not being here? Don't think there won't be some people come to look. They will. They will. When 9/11 happened, there was a whole lot of people got scared. And they came to churches for about 2 weeks before it wore off. Right here in my own building, where I come all every week, I saw people I'd never seen before. But then the fear wore off, and they disappeared. Oh, yeah, that happened all over America, all over America. Sadly, it did. But the truth is, one day, it won't wear off in 2 weeks. It's going to be a sad thing to be left behind, folks. The world's going to be divided at his coming. Some are going and some are going to be left. He said, I came to bring a sword. He said over in Luke 12, I brought division, even in families. When the rapture takes place, it's going to be a divider. Some are going, some are going to be left behind. That's right. Where would it find you right now? If he came today, would he be coming for you? Or would you be left behind? Don't make a mistake concerning Jesus. That's the most serious mistake you will ever make. It's an eternal mistake that can never be corrected. Right now, he wants to be your Savior. He loved you. He died for your sins on the cross. He invites you to come and accept him. Don't make the mistake that so many are making. You don't believe he was God? You will after the trumpet sounds, after you're left behind. But it'll be too late. Too late. You know, he didn't come to give the world peace at his first coming. He knew they were going to reject him. He is coming to bring in a kingdom where he's going to rule in peace when he comes back as King of Kings. In the meantime, he can give you personal peace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. You can have that this morning. He still offers it to individuals. Oh, a lot of them in the world and even his own rejected him, but you can have personal peace. The second coming of Jesus Christ is a real thing for the saved. It'll be a real thing when he comes back and every eye will see him, Revelation chapter 1, when he sets up his kingdom. But in the meantime, he can come to you personally and quietly and give you peace in your heart if you'll let him. Have you done that? Have you done that? He can come to you in this room this morning and give you peace in your heart. You say, preacher, I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. If you're saying that, I'm going to say you probably don't know because you're not. Jesus gives you peace in your heart. You'll know. You'll know that heaven's your home. He'll do that for you personally. I think of a story I read years ago of a nurse in a hospital. Been there a long time. She was Christian. But she was sort of like so many I see today as a pastor, a nominal Christian. One that went to church occasionally when it was convenient. One that didn't really participate that much, but if you'd ask her, she'd said, I'm a Christian. She remembered as a kid of getting saved, and off and on she was a Christian, and she lived a good life, but not excited about being a Christian, not thinking about it very much. But she said a old man came into the hospital and he was dying. It was on her floor and he was in the room she took care of. And she said, the old man talked about the Lord a little bit until he went in a coma. They all knew he was going to die and they were just marking time for him to die. She said, I'd go in his room after he went in a coma and often, just over and over, he would repeat, Jesus, this is Jim. Jesus, this is Jim. Jesus, this is Jim. She said, I'd walk by the hall and I could hear him saying, Jesus, this is Jim. She said, one day, the old man's voice had got weaker and weaker. She said, I walked one way and I heard him say barely, Jesus. This is Jim. She said, I walked back, was not thinking, and all of a sudden I went by the door and I heard these words in a stronger, clear voice. Jim, this is Jesus. She said, I turned on my heel and I ran into the room and the old man was gone. She said, I wondered, did I really hear that? Did I really hear that or just imagine that it wasn't Jim saying it, she said. He kept saying, Jesus, this is Jim. But she said, I heard somebody say, Jim, this is Jesus. I want to say to you, he'll come to you personally. Personally. In reality, in your heart and soul. And you'll know him. You'll know him. Make no mistake about Jesus. The world's making a terrible mistake. You don't have to. This morning you can leave that seat and come forward and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And one day if death comes before he returns, it'll be him speaking to you personally. And it'll be very real and very sure. Let's bow our heads. With our heads bowed, how many of you can say, preacher, I know Jesus. I know him. He's my Savior. I do have peace in my heart. Even if I died today, I'd go to be with him. Can you lift that hand as a testimony? Can you lift it honestly before God? Can you lift it? I'm not asking you if you're a church member or some religious ceremony you've been through. No, 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 my friend. Do you know him personally? Really know him? Thank you. You may put those hands down. I'm going to ask we stand, and I'm going to pray a prayer for you. And if you've never received Christ, we're going to sing a song. We're going to invite you to come down. Do what I did and what all these people around you did one day, unashamedly, personally, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. I pray you will this morning. Father, we ask for courage, we strength. We know you've already provided the grace because the Lord Jesus died for our sins. And we know we can be saved through that grace. I pray for those in the building right now that they would open their heart and let you speak real peace to them. While the world is divided, may they truly come to the side of Jesus. I pray you'd bless the invitation. I pray for that one that needs to confess Christ to step out and come. I pray for Christians that are hurting and needing your grace for pain in this old world. It comes to everybody. I pray for them, but I pray especially for that soul that needs to be saved this morning by trusting Christ. May one day, because they have accepted him as Savior, they'll hear him call their name. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll come this morning, whatever God's asked you to do, if you're not saved, I know he's asked you to come. Trust his Son as your Savior. You come as we sing.
Just as